Hello again, I'm Drew Wilder. It's Your Business, Business Talk, Straight Talk. We talk with Stan Sadlak, sponsored by Steeplechase Advisors, every weekend at this exact time. And a coach for your business, who could not use that these days? I mean, an invaluable resource. And Stan, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Drew. Thanks for having me here.
So we're going to talk, I mean, we talked about turmoil and chaos, and we're going to talk about, like, the chaos and of the unemployment system and what that means for a business, the way things are, and problems and solutions. And it's a crazy time. And you'll be saying to yourself, better call Stan. So talking about problems and pluses, I mean, everything is like the opposite of what it should be. Example is just, you know, a few days ago, the Fed announces that they're going to be future rate increases. Every other time I can remember, the stock market goes way down after that, but the market went way up. So why is everything the opposite of what it should be?
I mean, well, that's the society we live in today. I mean, take a look at, you know, the controversy going on between the current president and the past president over, you know, everything ranging from storage of materials to payoffs or bribes. You don't know what to believe. You don't know what's up, what's down. So you're absolutely correct about the stock market. If you take a look at where we're at, I mean, we've had the biggest bull market in the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. Yet, if you take a look at all the problems in our society, the COVID, the national debt, it doesn't make sense. So, you know, if you are, the way I invest is I like to look, see, touch, feel. Mm-hmm. I don't like paper. So I like, you know, if you like brick and mortar, you might like Walmart. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause you can see what's happening in the store.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Versus, you know, stock in a company like Twitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's it really worth? Mm-hmm. What's the fundamental value of that? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing we have here with, information. If you take a look at your information, what is being fed to you versus what are you seeing for yourself? Now, if you see all the chaos in the world, interest rates going up, you know, gas at the current prices, they say inflation now is 4%, which really should have been 2%. I mean, when it was, 2 years ago, it was zero. So right now, if we want 2%, and it's 4%, it's still double what it should be, 100%. Right. But if you compare it to, if last year inflation was 9%, that means if it's up 4% more, it's really 13%.
Right. A lot of people don't get the cumulative effect.
Right.
And prices usually don't come down once they go up.
And so, you know, for example, if we go back to my methodology, my theory, where you see, touch, feel. So if you drive around, you're going to see foreclosure signs. We haven't seen foreclosure signs in quite a while.
Right.
If you look at office buildings, you're going to see that, boy, there is a lot of vacancy. We know that in Hartford, at least 30% is vacant.
Right.
You know, we take a look at hotels. They're being changed from hotels into boarding houses subsidized by the government. We look at the weather cycles, all the damages that's created and the cost of that to the insurance companies and the rebuilding. So we're definitely in a time of contrary opinion. Mm-hmm. As you know, I've not been very enthusiastic about the stock market for the last few years.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. I mean, if we have all these negative things going on, why does the stock market keep going up and up and up? So as many people know, I got out of the investment business in 2005 because I was convinced it was going to take a downturn, which it did in 2008.
Right.
So
right.
then that recovered over a few years, and then we've had quite a run ever since then. Mm-hmm. And the question is, you know, when this unraveling occurs, what form or how severe will that downturn be? Why is that important? Well, if I'm a business owner and I'm taking a look at where I'm at and my location and whether I want to hire more people, if I can find more people, this takes a lot of thought. a lot of brainstorming and understanding where your profit margins are. Did you ever notice that that you might drive by and see a Subway closed or a Dunkin' Donuts closed or a Wendy's closed or a McDonald's? Well, it's not that those are not profitable. Mm-hmm. It is really an issue that it's not generating the numbers or the profits that the owners would really like.
Right, right.
So they're hanging in there, but they need to achieve a certain sales per square foot.
Right, they got to keep up with their costs, right, paying more because of inflation.
Right. So when we take a look at what is going to occur in the local economy, I mean, we do see that down south, obviously, they're doing very well. Mm-hmm. But up here, we have some people are doing exceptionally well and some are not. And the challenge that we're going to face is with AI, as we talked in our last show, mm-hmm, and with inflation, what is going to continue to do well? I mean, people with this inflation, with the increase in taxes, are just not going to be able to make ends meet.
So what will happen? Government will bail them out more.
I think that, you know, that story is being written right now. I mean, yeah, we cannot compete in the world economy with a $35 trillion debt.
Right.
Just can't do it. So you say, well, that's why they have inflation. So you can use inflated dollars to pay off debt from a long time ago.
Right.
So if you remember back when you probably had your first apartment, mm-hmm, or your first, we'll use apartment as an example. Yeah. You might have been able to get a very nice apartment for $150 a month.
Right.
That same apartment today is anywhere from $2,800 to $4,800. Right. So if you had debt that you incurred that back in those days, you're now going to pay them off with today's dollars. It's going to be a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. I get into that discussion a lot. People say, well, you know, I'm going to get a 10-year or 15-year mortgage instead of a 30-year mortgage. And that makes sense in the way they think, because they, mm-hmm, want to pay it off quicker.
Right.
But if you have a round of inflation somewhere in the middle there, and it's a 30-year mortgage, you're going to pay off that original mortgage with much less expensive dollars.
Cheaper dollars, yeah.
Right. Because if your mortgage payment was $475, mm-hmm, and today, you know, you're earning so much more money, you could afford a $4,000 mortgage, you're going to take that $400 and probably triple it and pay it off or continue to pay it because you're paying it off with cheaper dollars.
Right. Yeah, and again, you talk about the opposites of everything and unemployment. I mean, with all of this, people still don't want to work, as you're saying. Unemployment is unbelievably low. What recently, 3.7%. It's like one of the lowest ever in this country, but prices are skyrocketing. So again, it's the opposite of what you would think, and the disincentive to work. You just show up for the interview, as you've expressed that's happened to you. People just show up just to log it off and say that they went on an interview, that they're looking for a job, and that qualifies to get more unemployment.
Well, right, and you have to blame the politicians for a lot of that because they're still giving out subsidies through the form of unemployment. You know, you have many situations where you have a man and a woman living together. They have two, three kids, and the state of Connecticut is giving them $1,500 a month for each kid because it's a single parent,
right,
which it's a ruse. You know, they're getting away. So they're taking in $4,500 a month, and they're acting as if they're married, and they're getting a free ride at the expense of you and me.
So why are the politicians allowing it to happen? Because they want the votes?
Well, I mean, people want giveaways. If you take a look at, I mean, this whole conversation about reparations.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, that's craziness.
Yeah, it really is. And is that just to get the African-American vote?
I mean, I would assume it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, they're saying what people want to hear.
Right.
People want a free ride. They don't,
right,
want to work anymore.
Student loans. Don't pay them. Well, now we got the under 24 vote.
Right. It's a dumbing down of America.
Yeah.
That's what we're going through. And that's why AI is here, because America is getting dumbed down so much.
Yeah.
The government doesn't want us to think that they're bringing the AI to replace us. You know, we're going full circle. You know, back, you know, 125, 150 years ago, everybody was in the service world.
Mm-hmm.
very few, mm-hmm. if you call white collar jobs.
Right.
Okay. We're going back to them again, going back yeah. to those jobs again. We went through this full cycle and we became so smart that, you know, we outsmarted ourselves. And now we're all going back to, you know, manual labor jobs. Mm-hmm. And all these politicians, all they care about is taking care of themselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's politically popular. No one addresses Social Security and Medicare.
Right.
And that's a major driver of the debt in this country. But, you know, again, it's all the opposite of what I blame a lot of it on the pandemic, because that gave a lot of excuses to hand out money to people and a lot of excuses for people to say, I just want to enjoy life. Why go work? So the two go together.
Right.
The question is, how do you get out of it and get back to or do you ever get back to people wanting to work?
Well, I think that is where we're at today. I mean, there are so many crossroads that we're facing. You know, if we're hiking along, we're in the trail, and we get to a fork, it's no longer a fork. It's like a star going out in different directions.
Right.
I mean, if you take a look at, you know, where I live, I mean, the neighbors on two sides of me are retired. Two other neighbors, they work from home full time, and they got cushy jobs. I'm the only guy in my neighborhood who's out there working day to day.
What are we doing wrong? My neighbor too.
And I'm the oldest.
Yeah. My neighbor, like, he doesn't like pack the boxes, but he does something for Amazon to fulfill orders. So I'm trying to figure, and he's there all day at his house. So I'm trying to figure out, what does he do? If he doesn't have to actually do the boxes, I think he just takes the calls and filters it down. But he's walking his dog. Anytime I come home, like 12:30 for lunch or something, or 1 o'clock. He's always outside walking his dog for if I'm there half an hour, he's still gone. I see him coming back after 30, 45 minutes. So it's an unbelievable world. The million-dollar question is, how do you get out of it if we ever do?
Yeah, the other thing I get a kick out of, so, you know, I'm always advertising for positions, either whether for myself or for clients, because they don't like it to be known that they're looking for people.
Right.
So they'll ask me to do it, which we don't mind doing. It's not a big deal. But, you know, I called one person the other day. I said, because I was interested in his background, his resume. He's a student at one of the state universities, looking for a part-time job to go into full-time. And I find some of these young people to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the first words out of his mouth was, how much does it pay?
Oh, my. He didn't go to the school on how to do an interview.
You know, whenever a potential person says to me on the phone, you know, how much does it pay? Or if I get the one like, you know, It's a starting job, no experience, and if somebody will come in who's really got no experience but could take a kind of, you know, to be a learning curve for great potential, and they say, I want $25 an hour, that's not uncommon.
Right,
that's
amazing.
What people think, and they have nothing to bring to the table.
And they want to pass a law that it's illegal for you, the business person that's hiring someone, to ask them what they're making.
Right.
So it's all... And again, talking with Stan Sadlak, we do it every weekend at this time, and so many issues and potential problems and real problems. You better call Stan, and we'll tell you at the end of the show how you can do that and get a free, business-free consultation. And Stan's been helping businesses for many, many years, and we do it every weekend at this time with Business Talk, Straight Talk. It's your business, and there really are so many obstacles, and everything's the opposite of the way it should be. Unemployment is historic lows, and inflation is skyrocketing. I mean, it's not 9%, but it's 4%, as you said, double what the Fed would like it to be. But here's the thing. After the 1920s, and the pandemic was just a few years old, and exuberance in this country, and everyone was having a great time, and kind of like today, I mean, look what happened next. Is that what's going to happen next? The 1930s are going to be 1925, 1927 or something?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I'm the kind of person, I could argue either side of that question. I can give you an argument that says, you know, the world's coming to an end very quickly, so you better have months of food supply.
Yep. And better call Stan.
Yeah, that's right. Or I could give you an argument that says that really we're in a state of transition and that things will continue to do much better, but it'll be very different. So, for example, you may be able to make money, or you may be put on the public dole, but you're not going to be working very much. So it's, we're really at crossroads in our society, and I really don't know which way it's going to go. I do know that that the change is here. And, you know, for example, I've been saying for a long time that with the banks in trouble, with these companies just not making the profits that they want. You know, so many are going under, like Bed Bath & Beyond or, you know, JCPenney. I mean, if you just take a look around you, and I said, I called up Drew the other day and I said, Drew, look, I want you to make a T-chart. And on the left side of that T-chart, I want you to put everything that's going on in the world that concerns you, that you hear. And then on the right-hand side, I want you to put down all the good things that you see happening. And what is the ratio of the two?
It's kind of an even mix, with every unbelievable potential positive that you're told has a huge negative, maybe even bigger than the positive. I'm just thinking the media and the Biden administration tells you how great things are. But meanwhile, I mean, the jobs report was very good in the last couple of weeks, but meanwhile, you got inflation at 4%, and why does the majority of people in this country think things are terrible? Or the media tells you everything is great, there are no problems, but in the background you see flames shooting and buildings going down and Nordstrom's being burned, and now you see Whole Foods and Nordstrom's pulling out of major cities like San Francisco and one of the big hotels in San Francisco. It's been there since, like, I think the 1920s. They're closing. Foreclosure. But everything is great. I mean, what does it all mean?
Well, that's the question. I mean, you have to look at the demographics, too. Most of what you're describing are on the coasts.
Right.
They're not in the, we call the flyover land of middle America.
Right, and that's where the media is.
Right, and they are manipulating it. You know, the question is, for example, as you try to think through this whole process, is Biden really the president, or is he the puppet for Obama? Is there really a transformation still going on? Or, you know, is it really a premeditated program to try to change this country around? What is our relationship with China? What's it with Saudi Arabia?
Right.
I mean, it is very difficult for each of us trying to raise a family, trying to eke out a living, and, you know, go to the grocery store where you can't get out for less than $100.
Right.
And we have so little say. I mean, there's nothing we can do. So you have to try to decide, okay, well, how am I going to make it through the next week? How am I going to make it through the next
survival,
month?
Survival, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at today is really the survival of ourselves in business. And there's so many people that, you know, they don't want to have children anymore, and you can understand why. They're afraid.
And then you got on top of all that, the big umbrella is that people don't trust what's going on. There are like two judicial systems in this country, different rules and laws for different sides, and just people don't trust. So if you don't have trust, isn't that how you lose a democracy?
Well, I mean, that is a very good question that we are evaluating. And you have to, I mean, it's like we have one government that is not representative of the people. And we have to take a look at how this is going to unwind. I mean, the education system has been manipulated and changed. And the issue that I always ask about is, you know, is the silent majority going to react?
Right.
What are they going to do? I mean, this has happened in history, though, too. I mean, look at Germany in the 1930s and how that society changed. I mean, take a look at Russia, how that was one of the most vibrant economies in the world, and what's happened with communism. Look at what happened with Ukraine. I don't think people understand just how bad war is. I mean, we hear about it, we look at it, but we don't have the bomb sitting in the buildings that we're
right,
in.
Right, we're just watching it on a TV set.
We look outside and there's an arm in the in the yard, or there's a head over there. I mean, we just don't understand, and I don't think we really care about what's going on because of it, you know, it's not here with us.
Right, just send them the weapons. I mean, that's what... That's what we're told.
Right. So the question I would then pose is, with what's going on in the world and what's going on here in the United States, do you think China will want to come in and take us over any day now?
Yeah, they own our debt.
And people say, oh, that'll never happen. Don't be foolish.
Yeah.
You have to have, you know, you have to lay in bed sometimes with one eye open and one eye closed. And if you're a business owner and you have to look out for all of these regulators that are around you, or the IRS coming knocking at the door, and or the Department of Justice, FBI knocking at the door about a question.
Yeah.
So do you out, do you go out there and you not register within a political party, or do you register? Do you participate? Do you not participate? You know, if you're going down the road and you see, you know, two people beating up an old man, do you stop?
Well, look at the guy on the New York subway system. He was just found guilty.
That's right. Well, he was charged.
He was charged.
Yeah.
Okay, he was charged.
Yeah, the
New York
jury
City
indicted him.
Right. So he's got to go to trial, but you're talking about New York City.
Right.
He'll be found guilty.
Right. Yeah. Yes and no. I think I could argue both sides of that, but the preponderance is that he will definitely be guilty.
Right.
I think that the issue relates to the two coasts. I mean, if you go out to the Midwest and you go visit, you know, the cities out there, whether it be a Kansas City or an Omaha or a Lincoln, Nebraska, you're going to find they're very different.
Right.
People
totally
are very different.
But you're not going to see that or hear that in the media because the media is not...
In those
areas.
But I mean, how long are the people of San Francisco, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington going to let their cities be taken over and squandered to nothing?
Well, I have a brother. My younger brother lives in San Francisco, very liberal. I never thought he was so liberal. But I asked him about reparations. I asked him, what do you think about what's going on in your city? It used to be like a beautiful city. He said, his answer was, hey, I'll pay whatever it takes. I said, well, how could you possibly say that? You had nothing to do with it, with reparations.
Right.
I said, don't you see like what I see on the news, or is it all being made up? Nah, it's there, but hey, what are they going to do?
I think he's pulling your leg.
Maybe he is.
So, you know, one of the things that you have to look at today is, you know, is today a good day to open a business? If you were going to open a business today, Drew, what would you open? Would it be a service business? Would it be an ice cream business?
AI
would
consulting.
Would it be a manufacturing?
AI consulting.
Well, that's a service business. That's consulting. That's not making anything.
Okay, so for an actual product?
Well, I don't know. What would you do? I'm brainstorming with you.
I think there's so much of everything. It's just a fragmented world. I really would have to give that some thought with what's missing. I was just saying in one area of West Hartford, Bishop's Corner, I was saying to my daughter, I said, do you realize, I challenge you to think of any type of category of business that doesn't exist in this small area. I said, this is not New York City. It's kind of a small area. Every area, every type of business exists. So you've really got to have an edge on someone else or have a huge marketing budget so people hear you, see you. I believe in radio. So if people hear you over and over and over and the other guy doesn't do that, maybe that's one way to take over someone else who exists in that area. But very hard to beat someone that's been there for a long time if they have their act together.
Well, that is correct.
So what do you do? So I don't know. I wouldn't start an ice cream store. Wouldn't start a bakery. I guess it depends on the area you're in. Not every area is like what they say is Bishop's Corner in West Hartford, where every category exists. But you'd have to find that area or move out of Connecticut, where there's probably a little bit less competition in what you're talking about, the middle parts of the country.
It's a challenge today, and it's a challenge for the state budgets. I mean, there's articles being written lately about the need for the towns to merge. We've talked about that before.
Right.
There's 169 towns, and they're having problems finding finance people, assessors, firemen, policemen. So there's a big movement underway to consolidate. And inevitably, it will eventually occur.
I think
it will be to the chagrin of a lot of local residents who have had their own little fiefdom. And it will end up being in a metro form type of government. But there's going to be a lot of chaos between now and when that occurs.
Well, it's happening right at the state schools, I believe, merging under one umbrella, going in that direction more so. But yeah, people will rebel against it, but it'll have huge cost savings, but like we always talk about, there's always the other side of that, which a lot of people don't look at. I'm not even sure what it is, but I'm sure there are bad things that are going to happen too. You'll get less say in your town.
So we talked about the businesses during, you know, the 50s, 60s, or during the last, you know, 20 years. What do you think the big business will be of the next 20 years? So originally we started out with talking about marijuana dispensaries, but they're starting to close in California.
Yeah,
a thousand of them have just closed.
Yeah. So what will be the next? Well, yeah, that's the million-dollar question. AI will tell me. I'll go on chatbot later, chat GPT.
Well, you may be onto something there. That's why I raised the question.
That's probably something to do with that.
Maybe something related to space exploration, undersea exploration, AI.
Something
so,
with technology.
You know, we'd say, well, you know, if I'm going to be, why would I want to be an archaeologist? You know, maybe there might be something to that in the future. Or why do I want a fine arts degree? Well, you know, there might be certain art productions that are discovered that somebody needs to be evaluated.
Right. And that's where Stan Sadlak comes in, years of experience helping businesses, a business coach. I mean, with all this stuff going on, why would you not want an objective opinion? So I say, better call Stan. How did they get in touch with you to do that, Stan?
Give me a call at 860-524-3408. You can check out our website is steeplechaseamerica.com. But give me a call, and we'll be happy to chat.
No fee, right? I mean, you'll sit down with them. It's a no-fee consultation.
Right. I mean, when you're looking at hiring a coach or an advisor, you need to make sure the chemistry is right.
Exactly. And if Stan is busy on the phone with other people who are calling, he'll get back to you on Monday. 860-524-3408. Business talk, straight talk. Better call Stan. 860-524-3408. I'm Drew Wilder. It's Your Business. This weekend, every weekend at this exact time. And thanks for listening. Have a good weekend.
You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman.